Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. We're going to be thinking this morning again in John's Gospel. Think a little bit about food, a favourite topic of mine, as you can tell. Somebody said you've got a nice bright shirt on this morning. And I go, yes, well, the reason I chose it is because it's nice and baggy, okay? Not snug fit, because there's too much stuff that's been eaten, basically. Food is a favourite topic, isn't it? We have cookery programmes, we have MasterChef, celebrity MasterChef, Bake Off, okay? And yet we are one of the most overweight nations in Europe, okay? Obesity is a major problem, okay? But I wonder what your diet is like. Do you do fast food? Do you do junk food? Do you do Deliveroo? Okay? Somebody called Just Eat? Okay, ready-made meals. Do you have leftovers or do you have a nice balanced diet? Five a day. Okay, five a day. Now, just flick on, Jem. Okay. Right. I want you to turn to the person next to you and find out what their favourite sandwich is. Okay, and why. Go. Okay. Oh, dear me. I started something off there, haven't I? Okay, who likes a BLT? Yeah, I have a BLT. I'm partial to a prawn sandwich now and again. I'm getting abuse from the front here. Any others? Cheese and pickle? Oh, no. Egg? Yeah, egg mayo? Tuna? Okay. Anything else? Jam? How about dripping? Okay. Pilchards on toast. Yeah, pilchards on toast. That's fine. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to be thinking about bread this morning. Okay. And we're going to be looking at one of the first of seven I ams that Jesus talks about in the book of John. And this morning is I am the bread of life. Okay, I am the bread of life. And we're going to start by reading through parts of John's Gospel, chapter 6. Okay, so Jem, if you could just throw that up on the wall. Next one. Okay, we got side by side. Okay, we're going posh today. So we can all read. Okay. If you want to read Ukrainian, you can. Okay. If you want to read English, you can. Okay. So John chapter 6, starting at verse 22, and we're going to do it in chunks this morning, little slices of the word. Okay. They get worse, don't worry. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Okay. So Jesus, the context of this whole passage we're going to look at this morning, is that Jesus fed at least 5,000 people with five barley loaves and two fish. Okay. The ultimate fish finger sandwich. Okay. Nobody said that. I like a fish finger sandwich. And Jesus had crossed the Sea of Galilee, partly by walking on the water, and then the remainder in the disciples' boat. Okay. So when he got to Capernaum, the crowd were amazed that he got there so quickly. And they go, Rabbi, when did you get here? So that had been a miracle. So there's two miracles going on there already. And on the back of that miracle of feeding the 5,000, he starts to talk about being, I am the bread of life. So this morning, I'm going to look at this chapter and we're going to come across all sorts of people and their different reactions to what Jesus is saying. Okay. And I'm guessing some of us will fall into the different categories as we go through. So the first one, Jem, is what's in it for me? What's in it for me? John chapter 6, verse 25 to 27 says this. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. for God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. So the first group of people that Jesus comes across are freeloaders. What's in it for me? Okay. They were following Jesus because he was giving out free food. Okay. Their main concern was about the material stuff of this world. Feed me and clothe me. They had no thought for eternity. Now, we live in the world of the sell-by date, don't we? What do we do before that? Okay. You know, we ate it. Okay. We used our senses. We checked it out for some mold. And you'd scrape it off and you'd still eat it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You'd smell it. The sniff test. Apparently, it's the new thing. They'd do the sniff test. We feel it if it's gone stale. Remember, you get a baguette and you cut it up and leave it till the next day. You could murder somebody with it. It's so hard, isn't it? You know, I mean. And we taste a little. Has it gone off yet? No, it's okay. But we check the date. One day over, it's out the door. We're in the food bank here, and Gilla and Steve are like, they're zealots on this sell-by date stuff. Okay. So you come up, you say, do you want any food? Why? It's out of date. What, half a day? Sorry, I'm going to give him grief. We live in a disposable world, don't we? Although people are trying to become more sustainable, predominantly we throw stuff away. I don't know if you saw in the week about the clothes mountain that's been done, because the clothing now is just discarded. It's fast clothing, not fast food. And they've got mountains of this stuff in Africa. That's just been, because they can't recycle it, because it's such a poor quality thing. So it is a problem. But the bread that Jesus is talking about here never goes stale, okay? Because it's eternal. And that's what Jesus is bringing across here. And as we go through this passage, we'll see that. Now, some people will explore Christianity and they'll look into it and they'll kind of approach it like, well, does it meet my needs now? My wants now. And if it doesn't, in their perception, they'll just go, nah, it's not for me. And they'll reject it. And this is what these people were like, this first group, what is in it for me? What is it that I can get out of this? Okay. And we'll come as we come later on, we'll see that it's not what you get out, it's what you give. Okay. Jesus wants us to give ourselves to him. Okay, so that's the first group, what's in it for me? Second group, Jem, is how can we work for this bread? How can we work for this bread? Verse 28 and 29 says, they replied, we want to perform God's works too. In other words, the miracles they've just seen. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you, that you believe in the one he has sent. That you believe in the one that he has sent. So on the face of it, the question looks reasonable, isn't it? It's a good principle to do what God wants us to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? But the people's emphasis was on their works for God and on God's works for them, signs and miracles. Okay. They wanted a list of things to do. They wanted rules to keep. It's a legalistic way of operating. And we see this. People, we default into this sort of way of thinking often. We like to be told what to do. We like orderly things. This is what I've got to do. Well, the gospel's not like that, because the gospel talks about grace. And it's like we cannot earn that grace. It's something that God gives us to us freely. And that's what Jesus says in verse 29. This is the only work God wants from you, is believe in the one he has sent. That's all we have to do. Believe in the one he has sent. So Jesus' emphasis is not on the works or what we think we should do for God, but on believing and trusting in the person that God sent, i.e. Jesus. So Jesus' emphasis is on a relationship. It's not about rules. I wonder if you're a bit like that. You like to live by the rules and not by relationship. Well, legalism in our life leads to a stale and a hard life. Okay, you see the Pharisees in the Bible, they lived rigorously by the rules. And they had very, very hard hearts towards people who didn't follow those rules. And so Jesus is saying, the bread that I give you will never go hard, or stale or off. It will remain fresh and alive and energizing because Jesus is the bread of life. Okay, the third group which we come across is give us the wow factor. Give us the wow factor. Verse 30 to 34 says this. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Ever seen a miracle? Well, these folks had at least 5,000, because it says 5,000 men, okay, were fully fed, and they wanted more. Show us another miracle. Give us that wow factor. This is sensational. They wanted to be entertained. They wanted to be wowed by the sensational. And they relate back to Moses and the manna. If you remember the Old Testament story, that the children of Israel, as they wandered through the wilderness, and they needed food, and God provided manna for them in the morning each day. Okay, but that had a sell-by date. It only lasted a day. And if they took more than they thought they needed, it went off really quickly. It went rancid. Okay. And Jesus corrects them because they go, Moses did all that for us. And Jesus goes, no, he didn't. God did that. And God is my Father. Which was an outrageous thing for him to say. Okay. Because he was equating himself with God. So Jesus is saying, I am God. Okay. So this is a turning point in John's gospel, as we go through and see in later chapters, that the people became really hardened against him and were out to get him. Okay, so he got a target on his back now, because in their minds he was being blasphemous. Okay, so the religious leaders were out to get him. And so Jesus corrects them. It wasn't the man Moses who provided the manna, but God the Father, his Father. And Jesus tells them that the bread that God now provides will never go off, but gives life to the world. Okay, it gives life. And that bread is Jesus himself. I am the bread of life, he said. Okay, so that's give us the wow factor. The fourth group, same old, same old. John 6, 41 to 42. And here we see a bit of pressure pushed back. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So he's upsetting them. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? So what we've got here is familiarity breeds contempt or stops us from seeing. Okay, we expect to see something and we're not alert enough to see anything else. They had expectations of who the Messiah would be. Okay, they got a sort of stereotypical idea of who it was going to be. They were going to come in and free them from the Roman occupation and set the nation of Jews again. And that he was going to come and lead them on, to save them. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you unexpectedly see somebody in a different place. I've had a couple of situations like this. We were years ago now, when the kids were small, we'd gone to Florida for a holiday. I mean, they were probably about 6 or 7, 8. So it's a long time ago. And we were lining up in a queue for Winnie the Pooh, as you do. And I turned around and I saw this guy. I thought, I know him. Nah. And it was a guy who goes to a church in Redditch. He was in the same queue as we were. And we'd travel like 3,000 or 4,000 miles. We were in the same queue on the same day in the same place. And you go, what are you doing here? I'm on holiday, sir, mate. Yeah. But it's like a coincidence. Alicia had that the other week. She bumped into Olivia on holiday in Rhodes. No, neither of them knew they were there. And they go, what are you doing here? I'm at the airport. I'm going, no. You're not expecting it. It's out of the ordinary. Okay. So the Jews weren't looking for Jesus, the carpenter's son from Nazareth, to be the Messiah. It just didn't figure. Okay. So it was for them, it's the same old, same old. It's just an ordinary bloke from up north. Okay. We can be so familiar with the routine and normality that we don't see. Sometimes we can be like that with Jesus. We see in the normal routine of life, God working in our lives. We can be like that thing. We want the sensational. And we overlook the normality of our lives and how God works through our lives in everyday situations. It's like if you come to church here, for instance, you might regularly come here. You might regularly attend church. You might regularly come to the clubs or the coffee morning. But you've not seen or you've not recognised Jesus for who he really is. He's part of the furniture, and you're just overlooking him. But he's the Son of God, the Saviour, the bread of life. And they weren't looking in the right place. They were looking for this glorious thing, and Jesus going, I'm here. The person you've been longing for is standing in front of you. I am the bread of life. Okay, next one, Jem, is real life-giving food. John goes on in verse 35, and then we'll just drop down to 47 to 51. He goes, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. I've been said this so many times. They're not getting it. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I will offer, so the world may live, is my flesh. Okay. Amazing words that Jesus was saying to these people. So what has been Jesus' response to all these points, these views and these questions? He consistently tells the crowd that he is the bread of life. He has come down from heaven, from God. The bread that he gives eternal life. It never loses its life-giving power. The bread is, in fact, Jesus himself. And the eternal life is not gained by material things, by doing stuff, doing works, or by experiencing sensational things, but by a relationship with him. Okay. By believing in Jesus as the source of eternal life. That's what he's saying. By accepting and taking Jesus into our life. It's like when you have food and you eat it, it nourishes you, doesn't it? It sustains you. It becomes part of your body. As your body breaks down the vitamins and the nutrients and all the good stuff, okay, it strengthens you. Every cell of your body is kept alive by water and by food in our lives. And what Jesus talks about in this passage about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and this freaked the Jewish people out. They didn't understand what he was saying. And he says, and we'll come on to it a little bit, what happened then. But what he's saying is, to experience this eternal life, you've got to take me into your body, into your life, into your soul, into your spirit. And then you will have eternal life. So what kind of diet are you on? What kind of spiritual diet are you on? Are you on a fast food diet? So you grab a small bite of the Bible each day, you gulp it down on the run, and you get instant energy, but it doesn't last. It's like a Chinese, isn't it? You have a Chinese. You're about hungry about half an hour later. Yeah. It's kind of, well, whatever. Perhaps you're on leftovers. Perhaps you eat the scraps from yesterday's meal. You come on a Sunday and you're fed by the teaching, and we live off that for the week without enjoying a daily fresh food, okay? You know, you're reheating the same old stuff and it gets a little bit tiresome, doesn't it? A bit dried out. You need fresh food each day. Perhaps you're still on baby food. You're still on the milk and soft stuff when you should be on meat and vegetables. And it affects our growth. If we stayed on milk and soft food, we would not grow properly. It's not normal. It's abnormal. Okay, to keep eating rusks and milk. Okay, people look at what's a rusk. You know if you know. Okay, as they say. If we don't grow, we're still stunted. We might still be in nappies, as it were. We still have childish behaviour. We still have childish responses. We need others to prepare food and meals for us. We can't feed ourselves. And that's not where God wants us to be. He wants us to be growing into mature Christians, okay, who can feed themselves daily. Or perhaps you've got a balanced diet. Perhaps you've got a mixed diet of teaching, of prayer, of worship, variety. So you've got a solid, nutritious food that you are enjoying. Now, I guess in reality, we kind of do all of that stuff a little bit. We'll have a bit of a fast food. Now, sometimes we'll sit down and have a real good meal. But to be really healthy and grow as Christians, we need to have that balanced diet throughout our week. Okay. Okay, next one, Jem, is tough teaching, I think. Yeah. This is what happened. John 6, verses 60 to 64 and 67 to 69. You'll have to flick on to the next slide, Jem, okay. Many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How could anyone accept it?" Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me." For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you going to leave?" And Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Some of the disciples or the followers of Jesus couldn't handle this teaching, okay, and they walked away. They didn't want that close relationship with him. People are fickle, aren't they? We change their mind like the wind, the weather. And Jesus is not surprised by this. He knows what we're like. He knew this would happen. He said in the brackets there, "For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him." So there's nothing surprising him here. He knows what human characters and personalities are like. But he's speaking out the truth of his word, and those who take it on board believe it and they grow. Others just walk away. I always find it sad when I come here because I look on that board there and there's a lot of photographs of people on there who have walked away from the church. Some have died and gone to glory. Praise the Lord for them. But there are others who've been here and they've gone, okay, for various reasons, okay, for various reasons. Some because they've drifted away from God. Others because they've gone to other churches to worship. Okay, this happens. We're dealing with human people, human beings, aren't we? And people have wills and they choose to do things. Sometimes they don't like the teaching because it's too hard for them, so they go. Okay, this is what happened here with Jesus. We need to pray for prodigals, okay, that they return to God. So when you look on that board, some of them who have been here a long time will know who's not here and why they're not here, possibly. But pray for them, okay? Pray for them, that God would draw them back to himself. Okay. So Jesus turns to the remaining disciples and he asks them, "Are you going too? Okay. Are you off as well?" And Peter goes, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a revelation he's just had. Okay. He's seen Jesus in action. He's seen the miracles. He's heard the words. And he knows that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And my prayer is that we all have that same reaction. Okay. Peter grasped what the crowds had missed. He wasn't there for fish finger sandwiches or to follow a set of rules or to be wowed by the sensational. He'd seen Jesus in action and he knew the words that he spoke brought life. He got that Jesus was the bread of life, all that he needed. People go to various things, don't they, to try and meet their needs, as they say. It could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be relationships, it could be career, it could be family. There's so many things that we try and fill the voids in our life with to try and meet the needs which we have. And truly the only person who can meet those needs is Jesus Christ, because he has the words of eternal life. Okay, everything else goes stale, goes hard, goes off. is unhealthy. But Jesus brings that freshness, that brings that living power into our lives. He brings that eternal life. And I wonder this morning whether we can echo Peter's response that Jesus has the words of eternal life, that you want a relationship with him. Or perhaps you fall into one of the other groups of people we thought about this morning. Okay, what's in it for me? Where's the wow factor? Same old, same old. What have I got to do? Well, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God and that he wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants you to take him into your life to nourish your soul, to save you and to give you that eternal life. I am the bread of life, he said. May we partake of him. We're going to take bread and wine shortly, I guess, because it's there. And that speaks of the bread, doesn't it, that we break, that Jesus' body was broken. It talks above the wine. It speaks of his blood that was shed that brings us cleansing from sin in our life. And that is a very simple meal, but it's so profound in its meaning for us. Okay, so think about what we thought about this morning. I am the bread of life. We take that bread and we break it. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Okay, let's pray. And then I'm not sure what's happening next. We'll break bread. Okay. Getting nods from the front row. Okay. Father, we thank you for Jesus, the bread of life, who satisfies our needs, who nourishes our soul, strengthens our spirit, and gives us eternal life when we believe in him. Father, please forgive us when we use Jesus for our own ends, when we think we can earn our salvation instead of just believing, when we seek the sensational and dismiss the ordinary. Forgive us when we walk away from you because your teaching is too hard for us, even though we know that it is for our own good. Father, this week, give us the hunger to spend time with you, reading your words of eternal life, worshipping you, and meeting together to encourage each other to grow strong in our faith. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.